Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on aspartame poisoning when we come back. You know, Charles Lyell was one of the pillars of modern geology, and Lyell published his Principles of Geology in the early 1800s. Lyell's concepts are so widely accepted today that most people who believe these ideas don't even know who it was that originated them. But it's from Lyell's system of reasoning that a doctrine of origins has been devised by simply projecting all of the natural processes that we observe today back through time indefinitely. And in that way, catastrophes like Noah's flood have been strictly ruled out. And this process is called science. Well, listen to this. Let's take topsoil. One writer observed that the soil which sustains life here on planet Earth is a thin layer of an average depth of about 7 or 8 inches over the face of the land. Now, the Earth beneath this strata of soil is as dead and sterile as the moon. That thin film of 7 or 8 inches is all that stands between man and extinction. So how long does it take for topsoil to accumulate? Well, science estimates that the combination of plant growth, bacterial decay, and the erosion process produces 6 inches of topsoil in about 5,000 years. That would total about 6,500 feet of topsoil in 65 million years. And what did our teachers tell us about the extinction of the dinosaurs? Do you remember that was about 65 million years ago? So 65 million years ago, when the dinosaurs died out, soil is accumulating at the rate of 6 inches every 5,000 years, and there should be 6,500 feet of topsoil on planet Earth over that period of time. But there isn't. There's only 7 or 8 inches. Now, boys and girls, we don't have to be rocket scientists to do the math on these kinds of pseudo-scientific lies. And that's just one more of the many examples of evolutionary propaganda that masquerades under the banner of science. And this is one more of the many lessons in the Mosaic Law School that we conduct twice a year here at the Isabella School. Now, for more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Go to our archives page and download that free general law CD package directly. Again, that's georgegordon.org or georgegordon.com. All right, we're talking about aspartame poisoning. Now, a lot of times people write me letters or they call on the phone and they're just absolutely incredulous. They say, you can't expect us to believe that our own government would be doing this to us. And the answer is yes. I would expect you to believe that your own government is doing this to you. And I would expect you to believe it because I'm giving you the reports. Now, why would they want to do that? Because they want to kill you. Well, why would the government of the United States or Germany or France want to kill you? Because the powers that are in control of those governments have an agenda called the New World Order. And they want to reduce the Earth's population of useless eaters, that's people like you and me, from the 6 or 7 billion people that are inhabiting the Earth today to a more sustainable population of around 500 million, about a half a billion people. And these self-appointed gods have decided that the Earth's population has gotten out of control and that they need to bring it back under control. It's just that simple. No fuss, no muss. And they write about this constantly. Now, they're not bantying this about on CBS Evening News, you know, with Katie Couric. That's because they know, and it's very logical, that if they tell you that they're going to kill you, that they probably wouldn't get the job done. So they come to you and tell you, we love you, and we want to help you. We're from the government, and we want to do everything we can to make your life just wonderful. That wins your confidence, and then you're more pliable and easier to direct to your own destruction. And aspartame is just one of many of those modalities that are being used against you. Now, this aspartame is deadly poison. If these same government officials put arsenic in your water supply, you people would die rapidly, and you'd catch on in a hurry, wouldn't you? So what we do is we poison you slowly over a long period of time, deny that it's poison, ignore your requests for help, and then we propagandize you by telling you it's all in your head, it's a part of your imagination, and how can anyone believe that your government is trying to poison you? The other day, the president had a fellow, it was a black fellow, who was an advisor to the president on global warming, I believe it was, and he resigned the other day. Little flap came up on the news. Why did he resign? Because he'd signed a petition in which he said that he believed that the government was responsible for the attack on 9/11. Now, it just so happens that about one-third of the people of America believe that the government is responsible for the 9/11 attack, although the mainstream press marginalizes that and says to you that anybody who would believe such a thing has to be some kind of a right-wing nitwit, some kind of a conspiracy fruitcake. And here's one of the president's advisors over here who had signed a petition like that. He's a Democrat when he signed it, of course. You know, the Republicans were in office when this event transpired. Now, I'm one of those, like this guy that was working for President Obama, that thinks that George Bush and the CIA are the people that orchestrated that 9/11 attack. So I'm one of those conspiracy theorists. Now, when we take up a subject like aspartame, you know, I'm just like you and everybody else. I don't know what the hell's going on with aspartame until I read some reports. Hell, I couldn't spell aspartame, you know, until somebody wrote a report and I could see it in print so that I could look at it. And so I'm giving you a report. Now, this report comes from an outfit called www.doorway.com. www.doorway.com. It's an 8-page report on bad news about products with aspartame. So I've got an aspartame file here at the law school in our radio archives. We have a file cabinet over here, and I'm just going to pick up my aspartame file here. And like my vaccination file and my cancer file, I'm going to estimate that there's about 50 to 75 pages of material here on aspartame. So when I come on the air and I say, let me tell you the story about aspartame, it isn't because I'm so damn smart. It's because we took a look at some other scientific reports, you know, reports other than the Food and Drug Administration and the Searle Manufacturing Company or the drug company or Monsanto. Now, Monsanto and Searle and the FDA, they do reports and they do studies and they come up with conclusions. Now, it's pretty logical that the conclusion that somebody's going to come up with, if they're manufacturing a product. For instance, I'm selling schools, and so if I did a report on the Gordon Law School, would you expect it to be a negative or a positive report? Well, if there was anything negative about my law school, I wouldn't put it in the report. And that's because I'm prejudiced and biased in favor of my own financial gain. And I'm not brain dead, I'm not stupid. So when I want to sell you something, I don't sit here and tell you, you know, suppose I want to sell you my old pickup out here. You think I'm going to tell you that the fenders are broken and that the car doesn't start or the pickup doesn't start on cold days and when the temperature is 25 degrees or lower, you're going to have to use starting fluid? No, I'm not going to tell you any of that. I'm going to tell you what a wonderful pickup it is and how easy it starts and how powerful the motor is and all the good parts and points about it. And if you ask me, I probably wouldn't lie to you, but then, you know, I'd gloss it over and say, well, now look, here's a can of starting fluid, and if the temperature drops below 25, listen, you can even plug it in. That's what I do. I plug it in. It's got a block heater. So in the wintertime, we plug it in. Well, you see, the Monsanto company, those people aren't dumb, and they've got a product here called aspartame. And they've got a solution to the sugar problem. I mentioned this to you last time. So they came up with a chemical called NutraSweet Spoonful. That's their brand names. So that they can give you something besides sugar. Sugar's bad for you. So they've got something over here that takes the place of sugar. As it turns out, I think this aspartame is probably worse than the sugar that it replaces. Now, last time I pointed out to you how bad sugar is. Now, this time I'm going to tell you how bad this aspartame is. Now, we should avoid aspartame and sugar. Has it ever occurred to you that, hey, we got two poisons here? We got poison A, and then we got more poison B. So should you take more poison B or less poison A? Well, how about no poison C? No poison at all. Let's eliminate A and B. That's a wild new idea. See, in politics, you can have a Democratic bad party A or a Republican worse party B. Has it ever occurred to us to reject both bad party A and worse party B and opt for third party C? Nobody's thought of that yet, but I thought I'd throw that one out there for you. Now, the truth about aspartame's toxicity is far different than what the NutraSweet company would have you readers believe. In February of 1994, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services released a listing of adverse reactions that are reported to the Food and Drug Administration in the Department of Health and Human Services. This is a report for 1994. And they found that aspartame accounted for more than 75% of all of the adverse reactions that are reported to the Food and Drug Administration's adverse reaction monitoring system. So if you take all the complaints that come into the FDA, 75% of them deal with aspartame. And 25% of all their complaints comprise complaints of everything else that they regulate. Now that ought to tell you part of the story, huh? 75% of all the complaints in 1994 that came into the Food and Drug Administration concerned aspartame. 25% concerned everything else that they regulate and control. Now, how much do they regulate and control? Well, all of the pharmaceuticals, all of the foods. So how many complaints did they get about Eggo potato chips? How many complaints did they get about Celebrex? Well, that comprises 25% of everything that they regulate, and one item over here, aspartame, accounted for 75% of all their complaints. Now, that ought to tell you something, shouldn't it? Now, going on, by the FDA's own admission, fewer than 1% of those who have problems with something they consume ever report it to the FDA. So, of the 75% of the complaints that they received about aspartame, that represents less than 1% of all the complaints. So, if you had a complaint about aspartame, only one person in 100 actually reports it. The other 99 don't say a word. And I'm one of those. I have never written a letter to the FDA and complained about aspartame. Hell, I've never written a letter to the FDA and complained about anything. That's where the broad majority of us are. We might not like something, but that doesn't mean that we're going to sit down and write a letter or an email or make a telephone call and complain about it to some government agency. Now, I mentioned this to you last week. If you take all of the adverse reactions that come from vaccinations, the medical doctors of America, who by law are required to report every single one of them, only report 10%. That's all that they report. 90% of the adverse reactions that occur from vaccinations are never reported by anybody for any cause or reason. Same thing goes on here with drug deaths. You know, you take a look at the number of people that die from drugs. Doctors do not fess up and say, oh my God, I gave the guy too much Demitrol and I killed him. That would open him up to a lawsuit. He denies it. Take the guy that killed Michael Jackson here. There's a big news event. There's a singer here in the United States. His name is Michael Jackson. And his personal physician gave him some drugs, administered those drugs to him. Nothing wrong with that because the doctor's licensed, bonded, and insured. But this doctor gave Michael Jackson too much of a particular drug, or a combination thereof of others, and it was too much for him, and it killed him. Well, Michael Jackson is one of 130,000 Americans who die every year because their doctor, a licensed professional who's bonded and insured, gave too much or not enough or gave the wrong drug or gave an overdose of the drug to somebody and killed them. Now, they report those. Now, what is the percentage of the reports? Well, doctors. The doctor that killed Michael Jackson did not fess up and write a report to the coroner and said, gee, it was my fault, and I gave him too much of this stuff. After they did an autopsy and after the coroner's report and they got all the facts and figures together, they said, hey, this guy had too much of this drug in his system, and that's what killed him. Now, they wanted to know, well, who put the drug in his system? And they boiled down to, well, it was his personal physician did it. Well, his personal physician now wasn't some junkie on the street who's using tainted needles. He wasn't a heroin addict, you know, who was shooting up a little dope here with Michael Jackson. I mean, this guy is a respected medical doctor, been to college, got a medical degree, has a medical practice, and he made a mistake. He gave the guy too much drug. How often does that happen? 130,000 times a year. 130,000 times a year. That's the equivalent of a 747 airliner with 356 people on board crashing every day, 365 days a year here in the United States. And it's underreported by at least double. It may be underreported by as much as 90% We don't know exactly how much it's underreported, but everybody in the know is of the opinion that it's double that amount. 260,000 people are actually dying, but 130,000 is what the medical establishment admits to. Now, by comparison, I mentioned this to you before, I'll mention it again. By comparison, the illegal drugs of America kill 6,000 people. And we're spending billions of dollars a year to eradicate illegal drugs. And I suppose, you know, on balance, the billions of dollars that we are spending to eradicate cocaine, marijuana, and heroin from the streets of America is probably money well spent. Now, if you're going to spend $2 billion a year to eliminate marijuana from the streets of America, don't you think that it would warrant spending $2 billion a year to rid America of the 130,000 deaths a year that are caused by medical doctors and pharmaceutical companies like Searle and Monsanto? Now, we don't know how many people aspartame kill every year, because aspartame and deaths from aspartame is not something that is being calculated and statistics kept by the Center for Disease Control or the Food and Drug Administration or by Monsanto or anybody else. We don't want to know, we don't want to report it, and we don't want you to know. And there aren't any death certificates that are being issued that say died from aspartame poisoning. So somebody's going to say, well, then how the hell do you know that aspartame kills one person a year? It's like saying, well, how do you know that drugs kill 130,000 people a year? It's because government agencies keep track of, and they actually write it down. Even though they might not write it down in that category called aspartame poisoning, we do have aspartame, and we do have death and deaths, and we're able to correlate the two by putting some facts and figures together. In other words, by doing some detective work, we can put the story together. That's what we're doing here. That's called investigative reporting. Now, the tobacco industry for 40 years denied that there was any connecting link between smoking a cigarette and lung cancer. But by putting the numbers together, people could come to the conclusion that, my God, people that smoke, they've got a 10 times greater chance of coming down with lung cancer. And while we don't have a smoking gun that says, gee, I smoked a Marlboro on Wednesday, September 7th at 7:27 p.m., and that was the cigarette that caused my lung cancer. And that's true. We couldn't do that. But we were able to put together some corollary statistics, just like I mentioned to you last time. I said, hey, the amount of soda pop that we consume in the United States doubled over the past 20 years, and coincidentally, the number of people who developed diabetes over the last 20 years has doubled in the same period of time. Is there a connecting link between soda pop doubling in consumption and diabetes doubling in the number of people getting it? It is true, there is no specific connecting link, but you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that, hey, my God, there's something connected between these two events. There's something that connects smoking and lung cancer and soda pop consumption and diabetes. Now, the Food and Drug Administration and the pharmaceutical industry and Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola are going to do everything in their power to convince you that there's no corresponding links. Now, I'm not here to get you to give up on smoking Marlboros or Coca-Cola. I'm here to tell you that there are some connecting links that you should be aware of, and that the powers that be, that's the people that are profiting from you, taking your money and selling you the Coca-Cola and giving you the diabetes and selling you the Marlboros and giving you the lung cancer and selling you the aspartame and giving you these 92 diseases, there's something in common. It has money written all over it. And God love them, I don't blame the Coca-Cola people for wanting to sell more Coke. And I'm not even sure that the Coca-Cola oven by itself. Now, remember, I'm an old man now, and I've been drinking Coca-Cola all my life. I don't drink very much of it. I can't remember the last time I drank a soda pop. I love Coca-Cola. If God made anything better than Coke, he kept it for himself. I mean, it's like a whore at the whorehouse. If God made anything better than a woman, he kept it for himself. If God made anything better than pig to eat, he kept it for himself. There's a lot of things out there that taste good, feel good, smell good, and are good. But when you take too much of it, it kills you. Too much Coca-Cola ain't good for you. Too many of those women down at Flo's will probably give you gonorrhea. And too much of a good thing can kill you. That's the bottom line. Now, if a guy smokes a cigarette once in a while, it probably wouldn't give him lung cancer. If a guy drank a Coca-Cola once in a while, it probably wouldn't give him diabetes. If a guy ate a Big Mac and a bag of fries, it probably wouldn't make him fat. But when you're drinking four or five soda pops a day and eating two Big Macs and smoking a pack of Marlboros, tearing off a piece down at Flo's, you know, once or twice a week, you know, at the outside, you know, you're burning the candle at both ends, and now you're trying to light the thing off in the middle. Now, burning the candle at both ends is bad. Trying to burn the candle at both ends and in the middle at the same time is probably going to do you in. That's my point. So at some point in time, you're going to have to wake up here and ask yourself, well, do I really want to do this? Is this really good for me? So I quit drinking soda pop, I quit smoking, and I gave up on Flo's Girls. Now I've made it to 70. I'd like to make it to 80 if I could. Hell, I'd like to make it to 110. I can't think of anything better than dying of old age at 110. Now, the truth about aspartame's toxicity is far different than what the NutraSweet company would have you readers believe. In February of 1994, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services released a listing of adverse reactions reported to the FDA. 75% of all the adverse reactions are coming from aspartame. Now, they're not going to tell you that. They're not going to admit that. But those are facts and figures that the agency has in its files. And so with the Freedom of Information Act, this outfit goes in and they get the numbers and then they come out and they publish those. So if you want to know what the number one problem in America at the FDA is, it's aspartame. That's your number one problem. Does that mean that the FDA is going to take aspartame off the market and solve your problem for you? The answer is no, they're not. Are they going to take Marlboros off the market? No. Are they going to take Coca-Cola away from you? No. You're going to have to regulate your own consumption of it. That's what it boils down to, and that's what character is all about. Can you say no to the drug dealer on the corner? Can you say no to Coca-Cola? Can you say no to Marlboros? Can you say no to the whore in Times Square? I mean, this is what life is all about. At some point in time, you got to grow up, become an adult, and then say, no, I'm not going to drink that Coke. I'm not going to smoke that cigarette. I'm not going to eat that product with aspartame in it. That means you got to go read the label for yourself and make a determination this thing's got aspartame. And so for you illiterate people that have been to public school here in the United States and you can't read, it probably means it's a death sentence for you. Hey, we're at the halfway point here. Let me remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, not state schools and all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is also heard on the Geo Media Network, that satellite radio called Geo Media Network, and the program airs at 6 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock at night, 7 days a week, Pacific time, on Geo Media Network. All right, we're talking about aspartame poisoning, so we put to bed this issue that people oftentimes raise. Do you expect me to believe that the government is doing this? Yes, I do, because it's the way life is. The government's doing it. And they're doing it to you, and they're doing it for money. Now, the Food and Drug Administration is the lapdog of the pharmaceutical industry. and the people that work at the Food and Drug Administration get paid off. And the normal way to get paid off is by a job, a reward, a financial reward at the end of their government career. And the director of the Food and Drug Administration, the executives and the doctors that work there at the FDA, after they have worked there and done their work and done their job, and they have enacted policies and legislation, or they have turned a blind eye to the products that kill people and cause harm, they will be rewarded with lucrative positions and jobs in private industry working for the very companies that they were regulating last year or 5 years ago. That's the way the game is played. You don't like it or lump it. That's the way it is. It isn't that way because I say so. I'm just here as a reporter telling you that's the way it is. It's been that way for the last 100 years. That's the way it is today, and that's the way it's going to be for the next 100 years. So if you think the FDA is going to save your bacon, they're going to protect you in some way, you got your head up the wrong end of your anatomy again, Bob. Now, by the FDA's own admission, fewer than 1% of those who have problems with something that they consume ever report that to the FDA. So this balloons the almost 10,000 complaints that they have to around a million. So 10,000 people call them up. 10,000 people represent 75% of all of the adverse reactions that are reported. So that means that a million people out there, or one person out of every 300, has a complaint about aspartame. Now, aspartame does not kill everybody immediately. Aspartame, in many cases, doesn't even cause any adverse reactions. Now, I have drank products that have aspartame. In fact, I was at Tim and Jim's the other day, and there was a can of mango juice there. And I was kind of thirsty, so I just picked it up in my shopping cart and opened the can, started drinking. I took one drink, and I said, oh, my God, this stuff is gross. Then I looked at the can, and it said light, mango juice, light. Well, now, light is a synonym for aspartame. So then I looked at the label, and sure enough, it said aspartame. I mean, that stuff tastes so gross that it would gag a maggot. That's how bad that stuff tastes. Why anybody would drink diet soda? I tried a couple of diet sodas one time. And it tastes so bad, I can't believe anybody would drink that crap. But evidently, it's an acquired taste like drinking Scotch whiskey. I remember my old buddy, Wayne Altham, you know, he's a drinking fella, you know, and so he invited me over one day, and he poured me a glass of Scotch, and I took one sip, and I said, oh, my God, Wayne, how can you drink this? And he just drinking and sucking it down. He said, my goodness, nothing like good Scotch whiskey. Now, you know, I drink Jack Daniels and Wild Turkey, but I couldn't drink that Scotch. I can't drink that soda pop with aspartame in it. Now, I guess some of you people can. And for those of you that do, it tastes real good, and you don't have a problem with it. Just like vaccinations. Vaccinations do not kill everybody. They only kill about 1,000 people a year with vaccines. Now, for the 1,000 people that die, it's kind of serious. For the families and friends and relatives of the 1,000 victims, it's kind of serious. Now, for most of you people out there drinking this aspartame, you're not getting any adverse reactions from it. Tastes good. And you're drinking it down, everything's going along fine. Now, over time, though, you're going to develop a tremor, or you're going to develop a vision problem or something. Now, when you get a vision problem, you don't sit there and say, oh, my God, it's the aspartame that's causing my tunnel vision. You go to the optometrist, and he sells you a pair of glasses. Now, what caused your bad vision? Well, it was the aspartame. But, you know, that isn't what you're told by the optometrist. He doesn't examine you and say, oh, my God, Jane, you are suffering from aspartame poisoning. We don't need to sell you a pair of glasses. Hell, the optometrist makes money by selling glasses. He doesn't make any money by saying, gee, Jane, do you drink diet soda pop? Oh, my God, if you're drinking diet soda pop, you probably have aspartame poisoning. If you'll quit drinking the diet soda, I don't need to sell you this pair of glasses. No optometrist is going to do that. He's in the business of selling glasses. And he's going to say, hey, listen, we can fix your bad vision by selling you this pair of glasses. And so he sells you the pair of glasses, and you keep drinking aspartame. And then pretty soon you get symptom number two. You get a tremor. You know, and your hand is shaking or your legs won't hold still. And so then the pharmaceutical industry says, oh, you've got restless leg syndrome. Do you expect them to say to you, oh, my God, you've got aspartame poisoning. If you'll stop drinking Diet Coke, your restless leg syndrome will go away. Hell no. The pharmaceutical industry comes to you and says, hey, look, we got a pill here filled with some kind of a narcotic, and this will calm you down, you know, like Ritalin, and then your legs won't jump around, see, and you won't have restless leg syndrome. So now you're wearing glasses, and you're taking pills to calm your legs down so that your restless leg syndrome does. What your problem is you got aspartame poisoning, but there's nobody going to tell you that. Now it gets pretty bad, and one of these days you have a heart attack and you die. And your death certificate says heart attack. It doesn't say aspartame poisoning on it. says heart attack. Did anybody ever ask, well, what in the hell caused your bad vision? What caused your restless leg syndrome? What caused your heart attack? Nobody ever asks that question. Nobody ever puts the answer down. Now, fortunately, there are some people out there that get evangelistic zeal. I'm not one of them. People with evangelistic zeal are Mormons, and they want to convert you to Mormonism so that you can go to heaven and live with Jesus. And I don't give a damn whether you go to heaven or not. It's irrelevant to me. And so I'm not out here beating on the soapbox, knocking on your door, making a pest of myself, trying to get you to go to heaven. And I'm not out beating on your door here, trying to get you to give up on aspartame, stop smoking Marlboros, or stop drinking Diet Coke. I don't care. There's no skin off my back one way or the other. But again, as an investigative reporter, what a story this is. You know, I got to have something to talk about every day. And so I go to my file and say, oh my God, look what the hell's going on here. Look what the FDA, Monsanto, and the food industry is doing to you. You got 5,000 products over here. Let's take Jell-O, for instance. Jell-O has to be cooked. You buy a package of Jell-O. All of these people know that the aspartame turns to formaldehyde by way of methanol in the Jell-O when you boil it on the stove. There isn't anybody out there that's in the industry that doesn't know that. Well, of course, you don't know that, but now you do because I just told you. And it's not just the Jell-O. I'm not opposed to Jell-O, Coca-Cola, Marlboros, Big Macs, French fries. Hell, they all taste good. I'm not opposed to you girls trying to make a living down at Flo's either. I understand where the realities of life are, but these excesses over here, you know, at some point in time they catch up with you. You know, again, one Coca-Cola a month, one Marlboro a month, and then one of Flo's girls once in a while. I don't know if it's once a month, but, you know, probably, and you could get away with it. Whether they're good for you or not, that's another story, but you can probably get away with it. But when you're sucking down, I had a guy here in class one day, when he and his wife came in here, they came in with a 12-pack of Coca-Cola every day. And this guy wasn't drinking the diet stuff. I mean, he was mainlining the real stuff. And he and his wife, in the course of one day, would drink 12 soda pops during class. Now, class starts at 9 in the morning and ends at 5 o'clock. So between 9 a.m. and 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he and his wife were sucking down 6 Cokes each. Now, both he and his wife are a little on the chunky side. Chunky. And that means they're fat. Now, they're sucking in, I don't know how many calories a day. I don't know how this guy eats. And I'm not following him around to see whether or not he's eating hamburger with fat and eating at Wendy's or McDonald's. I'm not concerned with that. But I just observed, sitting here at my desk, talking to the students in the class, that he and his wife are sucking down a 12-pack a day. Now, there's 5 days in the school. 5 days school. So in 5 days, he and his wife drink 60. That's 5 times 12. 60 soda pops in 5 days. Now, their bodies can only dispose of 3 teaspoons of sugar per day, and they're sucking in 9 teaspoons per Coke. That's 54 a day. They can dispose of 3, and they're sucking in 54. That's a guaranteed recipe for diabetes. Those two people can't miss. They're going to have diabetes. Just no two ways about it. And the Coca-Cola company wants to sell more Coke, and I don't blame them. That's where the money's at. And I'm not sure that Coca-Cola is the place that we should go to limit the sale of Coca-Cola. I'm not sure that government is the place that we should go. Should the government be involved in the regulation of the Coca-Cola that these two adults, both of them in their 50s, these are not kids, you know, 13, 14, 16-year-old kids that do not know about sugar in the Coke. These are adults. These people have, both of them, have college degrees. I mentioned to the fellow, I said, do you know how much sugar is in one of those Cokes? And he said he didn't know. And I thought that was surprising. The man was a chiropractor, and I thought, surely a chiropractor would know that. I was surprised that a chiropractor would drink Coca-Cola. Most chiropractors are very knowledgeable people in health and healthcare, alternative healthcare in particular. But this guy, in my view, I thought he probably knew what he was doing. And he said, no, he did not know how much. I told him there's 9 teaspoons in a Coke. And I said, do you know how much your body's metabolism can dispose of per day? And he said, no, he didn't know. And I said, 3. And I said, that's an excess of 6 per Coke, and you're drinking 6 a day. That's 54. 6 nines is 54. Your wife's doing the same thing. What do you think of that? Shrugged his shoulders and kept on drinking the Coke. I think it's an addiction. And I think Coca-Cola becomes addictive, just like smoking cigarettes. This aspartame, they report here that this aspartame is addictive. My friend Wayne, I think when he was drinking Scotch whiskey, They call it an acquired taste. I think it's an addiction. I think that you drink it for a while, and you get to the point where you got to have more of it. Now, when I tasted it, it was gross. When I tasted the aspartame, it was gross. I suppose if I drank enough of it, I'd probably come to the conclusion that aspartame is an addiction, and I like it, and it's really good for me. That could be it. So I wanted to report that to you, that it appears that aspartame is addictive just like nicotine. Now, going on here, the FDA has received keeping problem. They never did respond to the certified letter from the webmaster of this site, a major victim, and they tend to discourage or even misdirect complaints, at least on aspartame. This is the FDA now. You complain to them, they will misdirect your complaint. The FDA is doing everything they can to cover up this aspartame problem. The fact remains, though, that most victims don't have a clue that aspartame may be the cause of their many problems. And many reactions to aspartame were very serious, including seizures and death. So now I'm going to give you a list here of what it is that aspartame causes. It causes abdominal pain. Just ask yourself now, do I have any of these symptoms? Abdominal pain, anxiety attacks, arthritis, asthma, asthmatic reactions, bloating, edema, fluid retention, blood sugar control problems, hypoglycemia or hyperglycemia, brain cancer, pre-approval studies in animals, breathing difficulties, burning eyes, burning throat, burning urination, can't think straight, chest pains, chronic cough, chronic fatigue, confusion, death, depression, diarrhea, dizziness, excessive thirst or hunger, fatigue, feel unreal, flushing of your face, hair loss, baldness, thinning hair, headaches, migraines, dizziness, hearing loss, heart palpitations, hives, hypertension, high blood pressure, impotency, sexual problems. Pause here for a minute. You know, we've got a problem here with Viagra. Have you seen Cialis ads and Viagra? Now, here are men in their 40s, maybe 50s, and they're taking Viagra and Cialis because they're sexually impotent. Now, I'm 70 years old, and I'm not sexually impotent. I don't need Viagra, and I don't need Cialis. Could it be that this problem that these people are taking Viagra for is caused by their Diet Cokes? And it could be something just that simple. Now, these are in alphabetical order, so we're talking about itching, irritability, insomnia, infection, inability to concentrate, joint pains, laryngitis, thinking or like thinking in a fog, marked personality changes, memory loss. Does that have anything to do with Alzheimer's disease? Menstrual problems or changes. Migraines and severe headaches. Muscle spasms. Muscle spasms. Is that restless leg syndrome? Nausea or vomiting. Numbness or tingling of extremities. Other allergic-like reactions. Panic attacks. Phobias. Let me turn the page here. Poor memory. Rapid heartbeat. Rashes. Seizures and convulsions, slurring of speech, swallowing pain, tachycardia, tremors, tinnitus, vertigo, vision loss, weight gain. Aspartame disease mimics symptoms or worsens the following diseases, such as, but not limited to, fibromyalgia, arthritis, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, lupus, multiple chemical sensitivities, diabetes and diabetic complications, epilepsy, Alzheimer's disease, birth defects, chronic fatigue syndrome, lymphoma, Lyme's disease, attention deficit disorder, panic disorder, and depression and other psychological disorders. Now there's the list. Now there's 92 symptoms that you can develop here from aspartame poison. Here's how it happens. Methanol from aspartame is released in the small intestine when the methyl group of aspartame encounters the enzyme chymotrypsin, which is called a free methanol, or free methanol begins to form in liquid aspartame-containing products at temperatures above 86 degrees Fahrenheit, also within the human body. Now watch this. Your body temperature is about 98. So you drink this ice-cold Diet Coke. What happens to the ice-cold Diet Coke as it sits in your 98-degree stomach? Does it get warmer than 86 degrees? And as it warms up, the aspartame turns to formaldehyde. Formaldehyde is a deadly toxic poison. Now, you've only got a little bit of this in your body. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, an overdose that kills you instantly. We're just talking about a little bit that's cumulative that builds up over a long period of time. Now, a lot of you people are strong enough, and you have strong enough immune systems that you can probably dissipate the poison. But little by little, it will weaken your immune system and weaken your body organs until at some point in time, you will start to exhibit some of these symptoms of disease. Now, it may take a year, or 5 years, or 10 years, or it may take 40 years, but the ultimate end is it'll get you. It's just like smoking cigarettes, you know, one cigarette, one pack of cigarettes, one carton of cigarettes, probably isn't going to do you in. But if it's a year, or 5 years, or 10 years, or 40 years, at some point in time, the cigarettes are going to do you in. Even John Wayne was done in over a long period of time. The methanol is then converted to formaldehyde. The formaldehyde converts to formic acid, ant sting poison. Toxic formic acid is used as an activator to strip epoxy and urethane coatings. Now imagine what that's doing to your body tissues. Phenylalanine and aspartic acid. 90% of aspartame are amino acids normally used in synthesis of protoplasm when supplied by the foods that we eat. But when it's unaccompanied by another amino acid that we use, and there are 20 of these amino acids, they become neurotoxic. It's a neurotoxin, neuro. It is a brain or a neurological toxin. That's why you get the tremors. Hey, I'm out of time. I'm going to have to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.